1 Timothy is a hard look at the church. There are characteristics, both good and bad, that Paul does not shy away from. And some of these characteristics are characteristics that you and I hate in churches that are fake. He uses the word false. So he's had to talk about false teachers and false leaders, false pastors, false followers. He doesn't like how the church, what it's become. And we know what that feels like. And a lot of that is on me, because we're going to talk about that today. But I love this story. After another long, dry sermon, the pastor announced he wanted to meet with the church board following the service. We don't have one. The first person to arrive was a total stranger. The pastor said to him, "I think you misunderstood me. I need to meet with the members of the church board." The man replied, "Mister, after what I just sat through, I don't know anyone more bored in church than I am." Boring church is almost the worst. Almost the worst. I say it's worse when you go to a church that is a mess, and they're fighting amongst themselves, and they're acting in a way that is opposite of what God has called us to be. We, as a church, have been there. Now, it's been a long time ago, but we've been there. Other churches have been there or are there now. We're not that. Not now. Could it be someday? Maybe. But man, am I going to fight it. We have to take the warnings that Paul tells us here in this book and make sure they never happen again. Or, if they do, we deal with it quickly. So, the responsibility for all of that then falls on me and the elders of this church. If you're not familiar with what that term is, there are four guys, including me, that, using a biblical term, shepherd the church. We oversee everything that goes on, but we shepherd spiritually, being the top thing. We make sure that we are doing everything that Scripture calls us to do, and we celebrate that when it happens. So today, Paul is going to tell us what a good pastor, what a good elder looks like, and how we celebrate that when we get it right. But he's also going to tell us what a bad one looks like, and what to do about that. So, as I have told you in weeks before, if you've ever wondered how to get rid of the pastor of a church biblically, today's your day. Open your Bibles. Open your Bibles to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 5. We are in verse 17. Only a month and a week to go. And then it's Christmas. The first thing in verse 17 that Paul says, right, when you get eldership right, when you get being a pastor right, double honor. I like it. Two for one. Verse 17, the elders who direct the affairs of the church are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. Oh, yeah. Verse 18, for, I think this is fat shaming. For Scripture says, do not muzzle an ox. That's fat shaming. While it is treading out the grain, and the worker deserves his wages. Verse 17, the role of an elder in this verse is to do what? Oversee. Direct the affairs of the church. And that's what the four of us do. When we get together, and throughout the week, we usually communicate by texting or email, just keeping things up to date. Here's what's going on. Here's challenges that we see. Here's something to praise. Here's something to be connected with. Obviously, a lot of our stuff right now is getting rid of that building and all of us coming over here, but also talking about the fact that us coming over here does not limit us to these four walls. There's amazing discussion that goes on that you don't even realize is happening. Anybody know that we're missing a wall over there? Right? Everybody's looking at that wall going, what does he see? Not that wall. There's a wall inside that wall that's no more. We did that for the purpose of expanding a classroom, and that's pretty cool, right? That's something to celebrate. We got something right, and that was really driven and directed by the elders. Anybody know how hard this is, by the way, to oversee the affairs of the church? Here's something that I think about all the time. Three of the four elders that we have lives outside of this church. Constantly. Now, that has often led me to not bugging those guys with stuff, which leads to problems, because they need to know, right? Because I'm like, I don't want to bother these guys. They have lives. Right? But that breaks down communication. All the gifts that we have, the four of us, we bring those to the table and we oversee everything that's going on so that all those gifts that we bring, God has specifically chosen us to help us help you. Right? It's a really cool process that God has set and how we do it. I always brag, and maybe not enough here, when I talk about church leadership in other settings, maybe with other pastors or whatever, I always say, oh, you ought to hear us pray, the four elders. By the way, you literally trampled over the spot where we did it last Sunday as you walked in the doors. We sat out in the lobby last Sunday. And we prayed. That's how we ended that. I mean, I'm not talking about the typical, God, I'm thankful this is over. I'm talking, we prayed for each other. We prayed for our wives. We hope it works. You know, all those things that we just pray for. And we pray for you. I love that. I love the way that we do it. Now, Paul talks about double honor. By the way, so here's the thing. If you think that you would like to be an elder, what is wrong with you? There's a lot that goes into it, and you're going to be hearing soon about something that we're going to be doing to give you the opportunity to learn more about eldership. Okay? But it's not as easy as you think. If you think it's just getting together and making sure the bills are paid, it's tough. And Paul recognizes that with the rest of the verse. He talks about double honor, that some of the elders get paid. Guess who gets paid? This one. That's me. I get paid to be an elder of the church. Or as you often hear me say, I get paid to be a professional Christian. Those who teach and those who preach are worthy of double honor. And Paul uses two Old Testament scriptures, and yes, I will let you call me an ox if you want to, because I've been called worse. And it's biblical. Now, here's the thing about getting paid to do this. You may feel this way, and I've had people say this to my face, not in a joking manner. Those of you who have done it and are joking, I totally get it, and I totally understand. I have had people genuinely say to me, I should not get paid, and here's my favorite part, I should want to do this. Guess what? I don't want to be doing. but God's called me to do it. And because God has called me to do it, I throw myself into it, everything that I have, everything that I am, and I love what I'm doing. It's kind of weird and cool at the same time that I get paid to do this. But I understand that mentality. But some people have said to me, I should just want to do this. If anybody just wants to do this on their own, do not have that person as your pastor. Now, some also, when you look at this verse, some think that you can't be a pastor and elder. This verse disagrees. I'm blessed because I have what I had last Sunday, where I have elders telling me to my face they have my back. That's cool, because I have not always had that. Here I always have with this elders, but church boards? No. And I serve a congregation that doesn't hesitate to love on me and my family. That's pretty cool. Double honor. But Paul also recognizes that it doesn't always work smoothly. Not always does it work out that the guys that are put in positions of leadership are doing what they should. So he provides us an opportunity for help. So look at verse 19. You go from double honor to double help. Do not entertain an accusation against an elder unless it is brought by two or three witnesses. So, what do you do if you have a problem with me as a pastor? Or you have a problem with Matt or Keith or Earl as an elder? What do you do with that? What's a healthy way to deal with it? Because Paul is addressing the problem that can be in positions of leadership. Okay, this one is really, really simple, but for some reason it's hard for some people to do. Tell us. If you have a problem with us, or you tore it all out a wall, you know, and that just bothers you, right? Or something that I say in a sermon or in a Sunday school class or whatever, you have a problem with it, why not just tell us? But I can understand that can be intimidating, okay? Just because you tell me doesn't mean that I'm going to agree with you. So that can be intimidating. So Paul says, don't do it alone. Bring two or three people with you. Now, you have to understand something about bringing a problem to me or something that you perceive in me or the church or the elders. If you begin with these words, there are a lot of people in the church that I will cut you off, because I've done it to some of you. Where you start that way, listen, there's a lot of people in the church, and I go, stop. It's just you and me talking about it. What's your problem? What is it that you and I need to deal with? Otherwise, go get them all, come on back, and we'll talk about it. But that can be okay, though, if you're bringing a group. But I will also say to us as elders, don't listen to that alone. Grab one of us or all four of us. Anybody that has an issue with that. Now, we dealt with that a couple years ago when we were trying to debate how do we let everyone know what our income is and what our expenses are. And we had a group that was debating on how to do that and everything else. And I said, if anybody has a question about our budget, ask us. You'd have thought that was the worst thing in the world. Just ask us. We don't mind, but we're not going to let you use money as a game to oppose or whatever else it might be. Don't be afraid to bring two or three people. That's what Paul says. But do you understand that if you come to me and say, listen, we got to talk about that Matt guy, all right? And so you're telling me a story, and I'm sitting there, and I'm listening, and I'm going, this is one person, this one voice. By the way, what do you think I'm going to tell you first? Have you talked to Matt? And then I'm going to say, let's give Matt a call, see if he can come and join us. Usually that's where criticism breaks down. Right? And then, oh, no, I'm not doing that. And then I'm like, la, la, la. But it's okay. This is a healthy way to deal with some of the concerns and problems that you might have. Please notice, this is more than something than a difference of opinion. Does that make sense? You should have seen us yesterday, Greg, when we were getting ready for the wedding and there was a light that was burnt out. And somebody, Greg, put in a light bulb that didn't match the others. And Greg and I were like, oh, that's cool. And everybody else was like, oh, it's got to match the others. And Matt, and so we went digging for a light bulb that would match it. And I'm sitting there going, it's a light bulb. Greg and I had one opinion. Others had another opinion. We're not talking about differences of opinion. I said that wrong. Greg and I had an opinion. Others had the wrong opinion. So this is more than just difference of opinion. Does that make sense? Is that right? I don't like the way the pastor dresses. Right? I only have one pair of jeans. What do you want? You know, we can talk about those things, but we're not talking about differences of opinion. This is where you're going, I'm really concerned about Dave's heart. I think that Dave is acting in a sinful manner. What, do you understand what I'm saying? This is more than just a difference of opinion. This is real. I'm really concerned for them, for the person that's in leadership. So, you can choose one of two paths. You can gossip. And I would add to that, instead of just talking to us directly, you can say what I've heard other people say before. Well, I don't want to rock the boat. What boat are you worried about rocking? Tell us what your concerns are. If there is more than just you and you're concerned, ask to meet together with the elders as a group. Well, listen, but if you think you're going to play some war of opinion against me or Keith or Matt or Earl, that's not going to work. It gets you away from the, well, he said this, she said this. It protects you, it protects me. If it is true, if you come to me with a concern about one of us as elders, or vice versa, you go to the elders with a concern about me, and it's true, and I look at you and go, I don't care what you think. I'm going to live any way I want. Or we're the elders. Who are you to judge us, right? If that's the attitude, if there is unrepentant sin in the midst of the leadership, when you bring that concern and we try to deal with it and one of us is like, nah, blah, blah, then I have to do something really hard, or they would have to do something really hard that's double hard. Verse 20. But those elders, it's true. It's right there. I'm condensing. Let me start over. But Earl, who, but those elders who are sinning, you are to listen to this. How's this for a greeting every morning? Welcome to James Road Church of Christ, where we're always glad you've welcome to join us. Let's talk about Earl. You know, right? Oh, this would be awful. Those elders who are sinning, you are to reprove before everyone so that others may take warning. Well, that's a fun Sunday, isn't it? Okay, now, here's the question. Those elders who are sinning, may I be first to stand in line and tell you that I'm one of them. I am a sinner. Is that what he's talking about? No, this is something that goes well beyond just the fact that we're sinners saved by grace, right? This is something that is detrimental to the church, to the name of Christ, whose name is on this building and on the sign, right? It is something that will damage the name of Christ in our community, not just our church community, but our community at large, it will damage the kingdom of God. That kind of sinning, right? Guys, do you know how many of my friends I have lost over the years that are pastors that end up having affairs with people that are in the church? And they just simply resign. And do you know what else they get to do? Move somewhere else and get a job. And I just... ugh. And then I remind myself, sin is sin. But this is the kind of stuff we're talking about, right? This is something that damages the kingdom. All right? So everybody sins. It goes well beyond the everyday struggle. It hurts the church, the elder, or me, unrepentant. And guys, listen to me about verse 20. I am willing to do this. But I am not looking forward to it. I have never, ever done it. I have been so tempted. Not the elders, but I have been so tempted in the past with different church leadership to say, you're damaging the church and you're unrepentant. I'm going to come up here and I'm going to put you on blast. Oh. See, the difference with that and where we are now, I cannot get away with that because I would go to the guys and we would work it out. I would not come up here on my own to do that and vice versa. But oh, I don't ever want to have to do this, but I'm willing. Because Paul says sometimes you got to warn everybody else. If we take unrepentant sin seriously as elders, then you do too. Now we do, and hopefully we never have to go to this extreme to prove it. Ugh. So I'm glad he says verse 21. I charge you. This is how serious Paul is about this issue of elders being above reproach and how to deal with any sin, unrepentant sin that's in the midst. I charge you in the sight of God and Christ Jesus and the elect angels, holy smokes, Paul, to keep these instructions without partiality. Now listen to this next part. And do nothing out of, what's the word? Yeah, when we named elders here at the church, after decades of going without elders, one of the criticisms that I heard over and over again is that Matt and Keith and Earl are my yes men. Not the X-Men, the yes men. We need t-shirts, right? We need matching t-shirts. My yes men. We had 11 guys go through 3.5 years of Bible study. It's as bad as it sounds, 3.5 years. And I've told this story before, that when I said, all right, guys, our next study will be, can't we just do this? That's the spiritual attitude I'm looking for. Let's do it. Let's tackle it. Let's do it. And those 11 men who had studied for 3.5 years together picked 5. One who said, oh, no, right away. One who said, not now, but maybe somewhere down the road. And 3 that said, I think God's calling me to do this, but I don't know. There's your elders, right? Those were the right guys, weren't they? I went into that night, and when I put my list down of who I thought should be elders, guess how many of their names were on there? Sorry, guys, none. They were relatively new to the church. I really didn't know them all that well. So, yes, I played favorites. Not one of those 3 did I have on my list of who should be elders, but God knew. Right? God knew. He knew exactly who I needed. He knew exactly who you needed. He knew exactly who this church needed. And going forward, we're going to do the same thing. But I can promise you this, it will not be favorites, because there's something that I know about my wisdom versus God's. I'm here. My wife is here. God's up here, right? I know that about God's wisdom. And I learned a hard lesson that night. When Paul says, don't play favorites. That's hard, isn't it? I love these men. They love me. But we try to challenge each other before it ever gets to the point of, you're gone, and we're going to tell everybody about it, right? When you have concerns about us, whether they be personal opinions or not, bring them to us. But understand that sometimes we've had some bad experiences with that, so I might grab somebody to come along with me, all right, to hold me accountable as much as it is you. But you are praying for us, right? Oh, man, I know it because some of you tell me. I get that, and I understand that. But, man, we do not take the task of being an elder lightly. We need you to be praying. If all you're doing is criticizing, and especially if you're criticizing privately, away from us, stop. But, man, be praying for us and lifting us up because we will do it right. We are doing it right, and we will continue to do it right, and we'll do it better. That's why this church is awesome, right? Because there's a spiritual foundation of four guys that were praying for you out loud last week, and you just trampled right over the spot where it happened. So do me a favor before you leave today. Tell one of those guys how much you love and appreciate them. Let's stand together and sing our closing song this morning. That we're facing individually as people here in the church and our lives that have been turned upside down. and it's just been an overwhelming week. And as a pastor, as an elder, I'm so thankful that I begin this week and ended last with a group of guys that we could just sit and we could laugh and we could hurt and we could pray together. So that no one here leaves this morning thinking, nobody cares. I am so thankful that we are a church like that, that falls on our knees and our hearts before you. And we're thankful for being your children, knowing that that can overcome all that fear. Help us be that and more this week. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank you.